The Buddha presented himself to society. There are some kind of grand scenes of his meetings with kings where they want to know what he's got to offer. And essentially he presents himself as a holy man who possesses some kind of power yet to be defined. And the question then is, what did people want from a holy man? And the question for the Buddha was, if he was going to adopt that role of holy man in the way that people envisaged, how could he do so to the greatest effect? There are lots of little incidents in these scriptures that evoke the way that people looked at holy men. There's one that I like, and the text is called the Anguttara Nikaya, a collection called the Anguttara Nikaya. And the Buddha is walking in a country, a land called Malla, where the Mullans, who are kind of a tribal people, are living. And they're very rough, especially the youths. And there's a particular group of youths who like roaming the countryside. They're quick-tempered, rough and greedy fellows. They like to rob messengers. They like to slap women and girls on the back. That's what the text says. When the Buddha comes along, they cast aside their bows, they call off their dogs, they salute the Buddha, and they stand before him with hands upraised, revering him. So the Buddha comments that when a son shows respect to a parent, the parent fondly regards him with loving thoughts. And similarly, venerating a holy man prompts his compassion, benevolence, and brings his blessing. So, in other words, in this society, holy man has a place, even for the most rough and uneducated people. They may not know anything about him. They don't meditate. They don't know anything about his teaching, necessarily. But the holy man, especially one with great prestige, like someone who's said to be enlightened, really represents something incredibly important, even for the roughest members of society. And this brings forth a response from the sage himself, the holy man himself. And what's more, those who act respectfully become lovely in their actions and worthy of praise. So it seems to me that the Buddha identified this natural connection, this natural respect that people had for holy men as something he could work on. That was a lever that he could use to open people's eyes up to what he had to say to them. And there were other people around doing this. There were Brahmins, priests, and you get a sense of tremendous competition between the world of the Brahmins, who are offering one version of how holy men can help society, which is largely through conducting sacrifices, which will bring benefit to an individual or to an entire country. And also through showing people what their true place in the world is, their place within the system that eventually became the caste system. If you do this, then you will be on the side of those forces in the universe which will support and protect you. So there's a competition between the Brahmins and the world of the wandering ascetics, like Gotama, who are the Shramanas. So we have the Brahmanas and the Shramanas. And then within the Shramana community themselves, there are all sorts of different groups and sects, and tremendous rivalries between them. One of the most vivid of the stories that we have concerns how Moggallana, who was one of the Buddha's two chief disciples, died. He's said to have gone to heaven, made a visionary ascent to heaven, and in heaven he saw that people who were practicing the Buddha's teachings were all around him, and people who practiced the Jain teachings were nowhere to be seen. He came back from his visionary journey into the heavens, and he told everyone this. And this called absolute uproar. The Jains were furious. The Jain leaders set a group of thugs onto Moggallana, and he was beaten to death. This is a story in the commentaries. Now, the king, who'd become a follower of the Buddha himself, was so angry when this happened that he had the murderers buried up to their necks in a field, and then he had the field ploughed over. Yik. It's a horrible story, actually. Sorry for telling you that. It's a horrible story. But it really brings out the fact that, at least sometime afterwards, it was believed that the rivalry between different groups of holy men was so intense. And why is it intense? Because, in this case, Moggallana is making a claim which goes to the heart of the way that lay people relate to these holy men. If you're on the right side of them, if you have their blessing, if you're aligned with them, then your fate after death and the fate of your relatives will be assured. Otherwise, you're in big trouble.